Freedom Fiends Live. This is our Sunday call-in show. If you want to be a fiend with us, you can give us a call at 307-215-5171. Again, that number is 307-215-5171. Or if you don't feel like talking but you still want us to address something, just send us an email to talkback@freedomfiends.com. What's up, Michael W. Dean?
What's up, Nima Vidati? So, you've been out all day. You probably don't know that Rodney King was found dead at the bottom of a swimming pool.
I did hear about that, yeah. My wife let me know. She read it on MSN or something. Fairly young age, too. He's in his 40s or something, right?
Yeah. Police suspect no foul play. And I'm thinking, like, okay.
If it was foul play, it'd be the police, right?
The guy was a drug addict, and he was troubled. You know, could be suicide, could be a drug drowning. Mm-hmm. There was a time when, like, I guess 95% of the police officers in Los Angeles County wanted this guy dead, and probably 20% of the citizens in Los Angeles County.
Cop humpers,
yeah, or black haters, or just people who are like, you know, there should be, you know, he should have. A lot of the comments on you know, that I've seen all the time about him and today were he shouldn't have ran. You know, when these cops were being aggressive with him because he was on drugs and they wanted to throw him in a car for being on drugs, you know, he shouldn't
just
have ran.
Stay there and take the beating.
Yeah, yeah.
Get a bunch of nightsticks to your head. That's the proper thing to do. Like the government self-defense class. Just roll up in a ball and wait until the attacker is done beating the crap out of you.
Wasn't somebody charged with obstructing justice because they covered their face while cops were beating him recently?
Yeah, I've heard of it happening before. I think people have also been charged with assaulting a police officer because they were resisting the police officer's violence towards them, like, you know, holding their hand up to block the blows, that kind of thing. Will Griggs written extensively about that kind of stuff.
Won't happen in Indiana, maybe.
Well, as long as you're not inside your home.
I think you should do a song called, like, a takeoff on By the Time I Get to Phoenix and call it By the Time I Get to Indiana.
What do you think the chorus would be?
I don't know, but I'll say this. The Rodney King thing was the beginning of, like, cop blocking as a thing and filming cops, you know? It was, like, back then, 20 years ago. Oh, and it was just the 20th anniversary of the L.A. riots and the beating of Rodney King.
Oh, was it?
So it's like, you know, okay, we'll wait 20 years and then kill him, maybe. Who knows? I don't know, but maybe not. But, you know, back then it was like most people didn't have cell phones and no cell phones had video cameras on them. But, you know, somebody had a VHS, you know, analog video camera and filmed this beating and gave it to the news. They didn't have YouTube back then. So that was kind of the beginning of, like, film the police, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It also started some horrible riots, which I can't really co-sign, but gave us some good hip hop. I mean, the day the N-words took over by Dr. Dre and company, and a great Sublime song. You've heard that, April 21st, 1992. I think that's about those riots.
The Perry Farrell song.
What was the Perry Farrell song?
Porno for Pyros has a song that says, "Ever since the riots, all I really wanted was a black girlfriend."
Okay. Never heard that song. But I'll take your word for it. Although Perry Farrell, we were talking about this. He's not the most moral person.
Yeah, he has a song about how cool it is to steal and how he wants to shoot people in the face with his mouse gun. For looking at
what was
funny.
It, a 25 or something?
25, packing 25, yeah.
Well, at least it wasn't a 45, right? you might just get away with some reconstructive facial surgery.
Did you know Ben Quaker has been shot twice?
No,
I didn't know that. He's never mentioned. He told me that on the phone the other day. He's been shot twice with a 22. One time it was a guy who was accidental. Another time it was a guy trying to kill him. That was like aiming for his ear and then missed and hit him somewhere else. I don't know. I got to interview him about that. I'll do a whole story on that, man.
Yeah, definitely. On his cast before, he's mentioned that he's been shot at, but I don't think he delved into him actually being hit. Maybe he did.
Yeah. I don't know.
But yeah, that's freaking crazy. Dude's been shot twice, been concussed like 30 something times.
I know. If he were a rapper, he'd be a billionaire by now.
Maybe we should just talk about it more on his podcast.
I think you should have Ben do a couple verses on your hip hop record. Ben is like the unhip hoppinest guy I can think of, but he's cool too. So it's like, you know, make it work.
I guess I could. I could just chop up all his words in Cubase and do a lot of editing, but I could chop them all up and put them on beat.
Yeah. Well, you know, nobody's calling in. I just realized Porkfest starts today. Everyone's out.
Oh, yeah.
Gallivanting in the New Hampshire woods.
Good for them. Go Porkfest. Wish I could be there, man.
Park.
I'm gonna try to make it out there next year or something. That's what I've been telling people on Facebook. My wife really wants to go see the area, and so maybe that'll be next summer's road trip. It was impossible for us to do it this year. I mean, we're moving. We just literally dropped off the U-Box to U-Haul, which is sort of their take on the whole pod thing.
Pods.
You know, you load it up and they ship it for you.
Yes.
But man, U-Haul is so bad at it. They just haven't figured out how to make it work yet. Like none of the employees there knew what the hell was going on. I would ask them a question to be like, I don't know. Call
really,
our manager.
We had a really good experience with U-Haul. But it was basically like, you know, we went to the U-Haul store in LA, which is huge and well stocked and they're knowledgeable and bought.
Well, yeah,
you know,
I mean, that's like, got to be like their number one market.
Yeah.
So
and
sure
like, you know,
they make sure that that's done well.
You know, we're like, okay, this is how much stuff we got. Okay, you need 27 of these box flats, 4 of these moving blankets, blah, blah, blah. You need this size truck, you know, and they even like gave us the numbers of guys that do moving, you know, and it worked really well. And then on this end, it was like we dropped the thing off 4 blocks from the house. It was no problem, you know. And they're like, okay,
well,
sign here.
I'm sure here it would have been fine if we just did a traditional U-Haul, but they just rolled out this new service, the U-Box.
Odds.
And nobody seems to know what the hell the deal is. I called customer support and got some lady in India, and she was very nice, but she didn't know what was going on. I was like, could you change our service? Because we wanted it to be dropped off instead of us dropping the U-Box off. And she was like, I guess let me just send a note to the manager and then you'll have to call them and make sure they got the note. And I'm like, then why am I on the phone with you? Can't you take care of this over the phone?
So to take
and
this from to take this from we're just bitching about our day to the point of liberty, how would this be different in a free market libertarian economy? Probably not a lot.
probably not a lot. I mean, I guess we just take the lesson. We let people know. I mean, that's part of it, right? Is if a company is doing you know, something not on the up and up, or they're not providing the service that you expect from them, you let people know about it.
There'd be more competition. There'd be more competition. Well, that's what it is. You'd have, you know, Nima's pods.
Fiend phone. Fiend phone.
We got a Fiend phone.
Nima's pods. Hello, Fiend. Who do we have here?
Well, it's certainly not Lou. this is Miles.
Miles, hi. Did you get my email?
Well, basically, the major reason why I was calling in was I just finished reading Snow Crash.
By,
have you ever read that novel?
By Stevenson?
Yeah.
No, never heard of it.
Oh, really?
I'm kidding. I've heard of it. Who's it by? What's his full name?
Neal Stephenson.
Isn't that the guy? Wait, is that the guy that we were bashing last week for being statist?
No.
No?
No, you're thinking
Neal
of J. Neal Schulman.
Okay.
J. Neal Schulman.
All right.
That's different.
Snow Crash. Tell me about Snow Crash.
Well, basically, it's a novel where the U.S. government has collapsed, leaving basically total anarchy. But one of the things about these anarchic societies that emerge from that is that, well, it's not really a thing that really gives an endorsement to anarchy. It's basically like you're living in a society where everyone is a giant jerk all the time.
And that's his idea. Is that his lib pair?
I guess. And everyone is very heavily armed with everything, including nuclear bombs.
And everyone's a jerk. See, that's what a lot of people think a libertarian paradise would be. Is Neal Stephenson libertarian?
Well, I don't know. All I know is I heard about him from Boston's Gun Bible. His 3 of his books are in the must-read section in the back of that book.
Huh. All right.
Honestly, though, I'd rather deal with all my neighbors being jerks than deal with the state.
Yeah.
I don't think that's how LibPair would be, or that's how it would be in an anarchic society, but I would much rather have that if that was the worst that it would happen, is my neighbors would be jerks.
Yep.
Well, one of the major problems is the state still exists. It's just greatly reduced in power. They're just, you know, off in their own little armored enclaves doing their own horrible things.
Okay.
They're afraid of everyone.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we'll have more soon, fiends. So, stick around. Do you want to stay on and chat on the break? I mean, the commercials there, sir?
Sure.
Hi, I'm Lou Vidotti from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vapor...
All right. Cool.
So there's two other things I wanted to mention. One thing I kind of wanted to boast about, and, two things that I just wanted to mention.
Okay.
All right.
Playing Stefan Molyneux on my iPad the last time I went to the DMV.
Did it keep you sane listening to Stefan while you're in that statist hellhole?
Or was it worse? Did it make it worse?
I must admit it really helped.
Good.
It really relaxed. I mean, it was like a little thing to grab onto in the middle of that nightmare.
Yeah.
What city are you in again, or what state?
Reno, Nevada.
Ugh. Yeah, I was amazed at the difference between the LA, all of the DMVs in LA and the ones in Casper, Wyoming. Once I got here, it was like in LA, you have to make an appointment to go there and wait 4 hours. And like, you're waiting in this mass of people, including a lot of like single mothers with 8 screaming children. I've seen like fist fights get broken up by the guards there. Everybody feels like they're about to get in a fist fight. I've heard people scream like, I'm going to stab you, bitch, there. It's like a pressure cooker. Then we came to Wyoming and it's like, there were like 8 people in line. The line was chairs. You moved in chairs, sitting down. We were in and out of there in 10 minutes when we came to get our new licenses. It was amazing. It was really mellow. Everyone's pleasant.
Oh, yeah. Buell, Idaho. Best DMV I've ever seen. There's almost never a line. The people there are very helpful. And when there is a line, they just say, go to a restaurant, go down the street to the library, come back in 10 minutes.
Now, if it was really like a lib pair, I think they'd have those things that they give you in the restaurant when there's a wait, those little vibrating pagers.
Ah, yeah, go and come back.
Yeah.
But they'd be on a 3G signal, so she'd actually go, you know, far away instead of sticking like within 50 feet.
Yeah.
Well, nice. Yeah, and what was the other thing you wanted to talk about, Miles?
Oh, the other two things was emailed a couple of links to books by Carol Quigley, PDF copies of books.
Uh-huh.
And wow, I'm about a third of the way through Tragedy and Hope, which is, you know, like the Rosetta Stone of conspiracy theorists.
Right. I hear that quoted often.
Well, this book is incredible. It's like the great big book of stuff you're not supposed to know about.
Yeah.
Right. And he's an insider, so he's basically spilling the beans. But from what I understood, he's not like saying these are horrible things. He's just like, yeah, this is what we do. Right. What's the tone of it, would you say?
Well, mostly, this is the incredible part. Most of it is just stating the facts. Yeah. I mean, if you really want to know about the history of the world, that book is a great place
to
start.
What's it called?
Tragedy and Hope by, what's his name? Carol Quigley.
Did you send me that today? No, you sent me a picture. I sent you an email before the show. Did you get it? No, you didn't. You didn't get it. You'll get it. It's all good. It's all good. Hey, I think we're about to come back here, aren't we, Nima? Are we?
Let me check the LRN server here. I believe so, though.
Yep. We're gonna hang up and open it up for other callers here.
Righty up.
Cool, man.
Thanks for calling
in anytime. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye.
All right. I'm reading about this book, Snow Crash, that Miles turned us on to. The term avatar, the Sanskrit term avatar for virtual online bodies. This novel is what made that like something that was used for your little picture on the internet.
Huh. Why do they use that for the same thing in that
book? I guess. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Cause there's some kind of virtual world in that book, but isn't there in all science fiction?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess we could talk a little bit more about that. So, I mean, I didn't read it, but Miles gave the gist and
we can review a book we didn't read.
We do that all the time, right?
Let's not do it. Do you really want to do it?
I don't want to do it. I just want to. The other point I wanted to make was, you know, because he was saying, you know, everybody's jerks and there's still small pockets of the state. I just want to go back to the point that just because the government collapses doesn't mean society's ready for anarchy.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get society ready for anarchy before you have anarchy.
Well, I'm thinking about all my neighbors who are armed and love the state, what they would do if the state went away. They would become the state, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of them would be
They'd go around shooting people that were gambling or prostituting or selling drugs.
Yeah, maybe.
They just fill in the gaps.
I mean, hopefully they would just go out and guard from, you know, the old ladies getting robbed or something. But maybe they would. Maybe they'd go beyond that. You know, maybe they'd go, I never liked that guy. There's no cops around. That guy never puts a flag out on Flag Day, that Michael Dean. Let's kill him.
yeah, which is an important reason to have guns, because if society does collapse, I'm not saying you need to use the guns to defeat the state, but, you know, it's good to protect yourself.
So two interesting laws. An interesting law and an interesting possible law. A town in Massachusetts banned cussing.
Yeah.
And the way they did it was they actually had – it's a ticketable offense there now. Marblehead – is it Marblehead? Yeah, I forget.
It's Middleborough.
Middleborough, yeah. They banned cussing, and it's a ticketable offense to swear on a fucking city street there now. And the way they did it was they actually had a law on the books, you know, one of those like, you know, no ice cream on Sundays, 1850s laws. They actually had a law on the book that it was like, it was a, you know, jailable misdemeanor to swear in that town, but it hadn't been enforced forever. So what
they didn't want to tie because the judge would just throw that
right.
Crap
so
out,
what they man. Did was they decriminalized the existing law down to a ticket and started enforcing it.
Yeah. Yeah. The other interesting thing about it I guess this isn't bearing the lead because obviously a town banning swearing, that's its own lead. But near the bottom of the story on it, apparently they also decriminalized marijuana with the same thing.
Really?
Yeah. So I feel like that could have been
a
story.
Are you sure that was the same story? Because I sent you this with another story. Because Chicago, this was what I was leading into, is Chicago, Rahm Emanuel is thinking of...
Right. No, this is Middleborough, according
okay,
to the same
Okay, but Rahm Emanuel
story.
Wants to... decriminalize marijuana. You know, he's the mayor of Chicago now. Obama's right-hand man quit to go do something better. Be the
guy who
of
said
Chicago.
You should never let a crisis go to waste.
Yeah. He wants to decriminalize marijuana there, not because he's cool, but because they spend so much money throwing in people in jail for small amounts that he would prefer to fine people for small amounts so they can generate money to hire more cops. That is so square, man.
It is so square. I mean, I
think we're
going to
see a lot more ticketing of things in the future as people run out of money for their tyranny.
Well, we have been seeing it anyway. We're seeing that in the present. I mean, even where you live in Casper, the big push to ticket people in the county for having cars in their yard, things like that.
Yeah.
Where I live, they're doing the same thing. They call themselves code enforcement, and they've been ramping up to give people more tickets. And they always do it under the guise of, you know, we're going to protect your property rights. But really, it's just fundraising for them, just like the pot thing. If they really wanted to make a real change, they would just stop enforcing any pot laws, not just decriminalizing it. I mean, a ticket is lame anyway. Why should I get written a ticket for smoking?
I know. When it's that, and when they reduce something from a crime to a ticket, it's such a statist. Even when they do it to be cool, which I don't know they ever do, because tickets always get money. But it's like, even if they're doing it to be like to show like, see, we're cool. Why not just legalize it? It's like, you know, if you decide something isn't a crime, it's just something you're ticketed for. If it's not a misdemeanor, if it's less than that, why not just legalize it?
Yeah, exactly. I've always felt like, even when I was a young high school statist, I always thought tickets were the most ridiculous thing.
Tickets are square, man.
You have not provided me any service, and I always felt so horrible paying them for that very reason, because I'm not paying for anything in the world you provided me. I'm just giving you money, because if I don't, you're going to point guns at me and throw me into frickin' jail.
You know, when I heard about this town outlawing swearing, my first thought was the movie Demolition Man that takes place in anti-utopia in the not-too-distant future, and where, like, you know, when you swear, there's, like, ticket machines everywhere built into the walls, like in homes
and
offices.
It just prints it out automatically.
Yes, it's like this robot voice says, John Spartan, you have been fined 1 credit for violation of Los San Angeles Municipal Code.
Yeah, freaking ridiculous. The other thing that struck me about this this whole banning swearing in Middleborough, Massachusetts, was one of the women that they interviewed for it, she was in favor of it. She says this. She says, I don't care what you do in private, it's in public that bothers me. said Mimi Dufili, a store owner and former town select woman. So and I was just thinking, you know,
we all own the public, but how would she feel if you didn't scoop your dog poop in the public since you own it?
That's what I'm saying. In Lip Pair, there is no public. Why should there be a public? And that's where all of this, that's where a lot of these kinds of things stem from. The who would do this, who would do that. Well, in public, we must have people to not smoke. In public, we must have this rule and that rule. There shouldn't really be a public. Somebody should own everything. Because if you have a public, you have to have a state.
Shane Cheed had a really good comment on who would build the roads without the government. And he says, my dad worked for the Wyoming Department of Transportation for decades. Who would build the roads? The same people who do now. They would just do it better.
They would do it better. Yeah, exactly. And they would do it to where they weren't waiting for their next contract in 5 years. They would do it quicker. And, you know, because what Ben Stone says this all the time. What does the state bring to the table? Absolutely nothing. The same people would still build the roads, but you wouldn't have this by that contract in the first place.
I'll say one thing about the difference between California and Wyoming. And, you know, I mean, it's all the state, but there are degrees of the state. In Wyoming, yeah. I generally when I see road workers on the highway, they're all working hard. In California, they're often all standing around leaning on their shovels.
Yeah.
There's actually a cartoon going around. It's pretty funny. It's like 10 guys standing around a hole in the road with one guy in the road, you know, like fixing the hole, and 10 guys mm-hmm. standing around watching him. And there's like arrows pointing to all of them. And it's like IT director, project manager, assistant project manager, etc. And then the arrow pointing to the guy working, it says Juan, J-U-A-N.
That's about right, too. The other thing is, I don't want to say they get overpaid, but we don't know what these kind of road workers should get paid. Same thing with teachers. We don't really have a free market in road work or education. So when somebody says, oh, teachers don't get paid enough, I say, first, they get paid more than I ever have in my lifetime. Same with road workers. You get paid like $30 an hour to hold the stop sign. $30 freaking an hour. You can't tell me that's a market rate, and I don't know what the market rate is, but it's something different than that, I'm sure.
Stick
we'll
around,
have plenty
y'all.
More complaining
more.
Here on the other end. So stay with the Freedom Fiends, y'all.
This is the Central Scrutinizer.
Oh, sorry.
Not again.
Wrong effect, man. Yeah, worms.
Hi, I'm Nima Vidotti from the Freedom Fiends podcast, and I'm excited about Vaporsmith's electronic cigarettes. I dig the taste, and I dig the freedom to vape anywhere the nanny staters would wet their pants if I smoked.
Vaporsmiths.com is run by a liberty-loving entrepreneur, not some subsidized tax-eater conglomerate.
I'm Michael Dean of the Freedom Fiends, and I love Vaporsmiths. I smoked 3 packs of tobacco cigarettes a day for decades, but now I'm only using Vaporsmiths. I love the flavors, I don't smell like smoke, and I save money, so I have more to spend on ammo and treats for my kitties.
Available in 4 strengths and 10 delicious flavors. Reds, Classics, Turkish, Menthol, Strawberry, Cherry, Vanilla, Coffee, Minty Mint, and Cloves. Go to Vaporsmiths.com. Use coupon code FREEDOMFIEND to get 25% off your order. This is a limited time offer. Vaporsmiths. At Vaporsmiths.com.
Live. This is Nima Vidotti on the other end of the microphone. A few states over is Michael W. Dean. We are here providing Liberty Media content for that ass. Can
not
I say
me.
Ass? I think
yeah.
I can say ass.
I'm not.
No,
I'm
Michael's
eating
pizza.
I mean pizza. How'd you know? I'm stealing
tell.
From the fiends.
I know what chewing pizza sounds like.
It's a good thing, man. It means that, like,
it's a good thing.
You know, we're so comfortable with this that I can, like, do all my other stuff while I do it. But we're not jaded, and we still appreciate it. Yeah.
But if you want to call in while Michael's chomping on some pepperonis, you can dial 307-215-5171. Again, the call-in is 307-215-5171. Or you can always email us at talkback@freedomfiends.com. We will attempt at our best to address your email concerns as well.
Speaking of tickets.
All right, fair enough. Good seg.
Well, I'll go. So, you know, there's like 2,800 drones in America now, and more and more agencies are getting them. DJ and I were joking, like, eventually the Mills Sheriff's Department is going to have one, which, you know, Mills, Wyoming is like...
It's like a town of 3,000.
Yeah. I mean, their jail is like the size of our living room. Literally, which is a good thing. But they're actually known to be corrupt, or people say they're corrupt. Let's say that.
Fair enough.
Or some people there. Some people say that some people in the Mills Police Department are corrupt. They're the people that tased a 70-year-old man for taking a wrong turn on his tractor in the parade.
During a parade. I remember that. Yeah.
What, TJ?
Yeah.
Oh, that was Glen Rock. Sorry. A different small, tiny town. All right.
I said same size.
So anyway, a majority of Americans, something like 68% in a recent poll, favor surveillance drones in America. But like 80% of Americans are against the idea of those drones being used to give out traffic tickets. And I'm thinking like, you think they're not going to use, you think you're not just going to, you know, you're not going to be able to speed anymore. You're going to speed in the middle of nowhere where there's no cops. And you are going to get a ticket in your mail.
It's so naive. Like, the naivete of the American people knows no bounds. It literally is like a young girl saying, well, you can just stick the tip in. I mean, that's where we're at. You know, we're all for drones. Go ahead. You know, have as many drones as you want. But just don't write us traffic tickets, please. I mean, come on. How ridiculous is that? Speaking of drones, one of the things that's scaring me now is these micro drones. I'm not sure if you posted this on your Facebook, but I guess it's John Hopkins, other universities with the funding, and of course the direction, because funding always comes with strings, of the U.S. Air Force, is developing small drones, smaller than the hummingbird ones that we've discussed before.
Mosquito
size. Yeah, something that could theoretically inject a RFID into you.
Now, that picture was faked. That picture was faked, but it was based on actual things that are being worked on.
Right, right. These don't exist yet, but they are in development. There is video of them, like, videotaping and doing research on the way butterflies fly and the way, you know, insect wings work. So I don't think they've actually developed any of these micro drones, but they're in the process of it. But yeah, that picture of the mosquito, that's not a real drone. That's an artist rendering, I guess you could say.
That was an artist rendering of the drones in production.
It was.
You like that one?
Yeah, I do. I do.
This is the Central Scrutinizer's younger brother, the later model of the Central Scrutinizer. I am the Central Scrutinizer 3000. You are being monitored.
Yeah. Am I? Yeah. I already knew that.
Yeah. So I have a happy thought.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'll eat pizza, man. Go.
Yeah, yeah. No, you were saying, speaking to the Central Scrutinizer, me and Michael have been talking a lot more lately because I've had the week off. So yay. I can move down to Texas. So I've just been chilling this week, working on my album. Michael's been helping me out a lot with that. And he was like, man, we should just record our telephone conversations because, you know, there's plenty of cast-worthy stuff in here. And so we were trying to think of ways to do it, you know, logistically. And Michael
I'd have to be able to pace. So I couldn't do it with the computer.
Right. Right, fair enough. But here was Michael's genius thought. We could submit Freedom of Information Act requests to the Central Scrutinizer and ask them for our phone calls that they've been recording. That way we can have a recording of them and just play that.
Yep. I like that one. So speaking of mosquito drones, I got some Black Flag, Nima, to spray on that public enemy.
Oh, yeah, for them fleas. That's a... Are you going to play? Don't play the song yet. We don't have
it. No. Do you think they'll be selling mosquito drone be gone spray at Walmart?
That's what I was wondering. Are there going to be mosquito off for drones? Drone strength?
I'm just wondering when terrorists are going to get drones, man. I mean, really, it's like I'm thinking it's not going to be Al-Qaeda in America with drones. I'm thinking it's going to be Mexican cartel. They're more positioned to do it geographically and financially, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And they're if not they above taking down legitimate businesses. I mean, there was a thing in
they have submarines and tanks, man.
Oh, do they? Ah, wow.
You haven't heard about the drug subs, the narco subs?
No, I haven't heard about the submarines.
Oh, my God. Tell me about it. They are amazing ingenuity, man. I think they're like kidnapping engineers or something, or hiring them, or giving them that like silver or lead deal. You know, like, we pay you or we kill you. Where they're getting, like, you know, scientists and engineers to design and build these drone, these subs. They're like three-man submarines that are, you know, probably 40 or 50 feet long and probably 10 feet wide and 10 feet high. And they go about a foot below the water. They're really hard to detect from the air. They're painted to color, you know, black. They match the water from the air. They're hard to detect from the air. They're hard to detect with radar. The governments have never caught one. And they're really slow. They're diesel powered. They have, you know, a little radio in them, little GPS unit. And they come up and, like, you know, go into a lagoon in Florida. Then a boat goes out and meets them and offloads the several tons of cocaine they're carrying. You don't know about narco subs, man?
No. That's awesome, though. I mean, I think cartels are evil, but I think it's a great point that you're just playing whack-a-mole. This whole war on drugs thing, you're just finding excuses to steal money. You will never, ever in a million years, no matter how much money you steal or how many people you kill, you will never stop the flow of drugs. It is impossible because you can't stop a market. You can't. It's
so
impossible.
I got a freedom fix, sort of. I used Silver Value to do a calculation I was wondering about recently that I don't know how I could have found the answer otherwise. It was I was reading about indentured servitude.
Yeah.
You know, in America back in the day.
Student loan debt.
Yeah, well, it is now. But, you know, I was thinking, like, now, why would someone voluntarily come over to America from England and be a slave? And it was like, it was based on how low the wages were in England. And it said the average laborer at the time in England made 50 shillings a year. And I was like, okay, where am I going to find the chart that has like 1820 shillings to modern US dollars?
Wikipedia.
I searched on Wikipedia. They didn't have that chart, but they said that a shilling was minted out of 1 troy pound of silver, they would make 60 shillings. So then I just immediately did the math.
1 troy ounce or 1 troy pound?
Troy pound.
Wow.
And and that's 10 ounces, you know, standard British weight, and or whatever they call the weight, the 16 ounce one. So it's 10 ounces of silver. You know, that's about $300. Okay, 60, it was, 300 bucks an ounce. Anyway, I did the math on it. It was like, it worked out to $300 a year in modern money. And I did it by knowing how much silver that was.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's a freedom fix because of silver allowed you to do the calculations?
Yeah, not because there was indentured servitude. Although actually indentured servitude was a voluntary exchange.
Yeah, I mean, as long as the, you know, the person controlling the contract abides by the contract.
Have you been looking for a safe, scenic, and inspiring place to live free? We chose Wyoming. Wyoming is the home of Free State Wyoming and the personal choice of Boston Tea Party, as well as the setting of his book, Moulin LaBaye. Bring the family and stop by for the 2012 Free State Wyoming Jamboree for 4 days of camping, shooting, and barbecue. There'll be trading, hiking, a raffle, and plenty of activities for the kids. Admission is free for those under 18. Entrance and 4 days camping is $15. It's only $15 more for the barbecue and beer on Saturday. Visit freestatewyoming.org. There's even a one-day handgun course led by Boston. The handgun course is extra. The Jamboree is June 28th through July 1st in the beautiful Black Hills of Wyoming. Join us to explore our favorite area of the country and see if our choice might become your choice. That's freestatewyoming.org. See you there.
I don't see anything wrong with that. I mean, because a lot of them, that's how they paid their way over here, right? Otherwise, they couldn't afford the passage to the New World. So, I mean, that's a trade-off if you're willing to make it. There's nothing wrong with that from a non-aggression principle sense or from a libertarian sense.
Yeah, but I don't know if they knew the full details of the contract they were entering into. Because a lot of times they were – I mean, how much information got back? You know, there wasn't Twitter then. And it's like, you know, basically a lot of the slave owners who also had indentured servants beat the indentured slaves servants far harder.
They worked them harder because they didn't own them. Yeah, they knew they'd have a short lease of time on them.
It's like how you treat a rental car versus one you own.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Very true. Well, we'll have more about indentured servitude, I guess, on Freedom Fiends Live.
Isn't everything about government indentured servitude? Indentured servitude?
Pretty much. Name of Adati. And we also got Michael W. Dean here, as usual. Wouldn't be the Fiends without both of us. Well, I guess it will be in a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, next week. Isn't it next week?
I think it's next week. Yep, you'll have Ben Stone, who will be an honorary fiend and a very well qualified one as well, will be filling in for me because I will be in Lake Powell, lamping, chilling.
He might not be there. We've asked around, and the internet is really
crappy. Bad in New Hampshire yeah. right now?
Well, no, up yeah. at the campground where they have Pork Fest. So yeah. if I can't, we're going to do a test before then, but if I can't, DJ is going to be the guest.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep.
Either way, we'll have somebody there for Michael to bounce stuff off of. I also got a little other pregame here before we get into the next segment. I wanted to give a shout out to a couple of people who are going to come through with beats for my new album, at least considered for the new album. We'll see if I use them. Hopefully I will. Chris Calder finally came through, sent me some samples of some beats he's working on for me. So there was some really good work in there, and he's going to send me some zip files. So thank you so much, Chris, if you're listening. And also Joseph Olivero. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing your last name either correctly, but I really appreciate it. He's also going to be working on some stuff for me. So thank you. And if anybody else out there is a hip hop head and wants to collaborate on an anarchic hip hop album, just message me on Facebook, shoot me an email. You could even shoot the talkback at freedomfiends.com if you want to. But we're trying to put something good together here, and I appreciate all the help from the other fiends out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And Michael's, of course, already helped me out. We got a couple of dope tracks we're working on. He referenced one earlier called Fleas. That's our new acronym. They want to play the acronym game. That's our fight back. That's Federal Law Enforcement Agents, also known as Fleas.
Yeah. Yep, because they're itchy.
And the other one is working title Nuremberg Trials for Drug Warriors, which I think is actually the name of a Fiend episode, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Of course, the concept being that the drug war is basically a war crime. So once we have a free society, the people who've been doing these horrible, evil, awful things will have to have some kind of accountability, similar to the way the Nazis faced accountability after World War II, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, like the Nazis, like the Nuremberg trials, the people that stood trial and were imprisoned were not the highest level people. The highest level people stole all the gold and moved to Argentina, which will probably happen with the drug warriors too when the war on drugs ends.
Yeah. 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 Obama and Eric Holder will be on their own island in the Caribbean or something.
Yeah.
With a bunch and whatever, of that's fine. I think he did some horrible things, but at this point, if you just wanted to like
go away,
disjoint DC from America and like drag it to the Bermuda Triangle and hope it disappeared, I would be fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you can always call us if you want to talk fiend. Speak to us. It's 307-215-5171. So what to do, Michael? I don't think I've let you get a word in edgewise here.
I've been eating pizza. I have some
damn
news.
Eating the whole thing or what?
No, I've been nibbling. I've been stretching it out. Okay. I had two slices. But okay. I have some news you can use about web design if you are a WordPress person. Do not use the plugin called Share Buttons by Lockers, LOCKERZ/add-to-any. It's the there's nothing viral about it or anything like that, but Norton was flagging sites that have it as like malicious website. No, fraudulent website because of the way they have a redirect in there to the Facebook button.
Right.
Before I figured it all out, I wrote a snitty lawyer letter to Norton saying, you know, because it was like I thought it was either Norton was like having, you know, like the government was having Norton block Liberty sites, or somebody had hacked, like social hacked it in some way of like having like 30 people all, you know, click on it and say to Norton, like people who have Norton's, you know, like get together and all say it's fraudulent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it wasn't. I went straight to the paranoid stuff, but it was like, the reason I thought that was because I have 10 websites, 5 of them are Liberty stuff. And then 5 of them are like, you know, just whatever stuff I do for other people, stuff that, you know, isn't anarchy stuff. The 5 that were Liberty ones were all marked by Norton. When you went to them, it would start to load for a second. You'd see it for a second. And then it would say, you know, Norton has determined that this is a fraudulent website. We recommend you don't view it. You know, click here for more information or proceed anyway against our warning and to the website.
Uh-huh.
And what it was the five websites I have that aren't Liberty sites, I barely update and barely do anything with. So I hadn't bothered to put the social sharing application buttons on them. And, you know, it took me like 4 hours to figure this out and fix it. I put a different bunch of social application sharing buttons on that actually work better. And it was this plugin was fine until they did an update on it. They just changed the way that they reference Facebook with it, and it's what's called a redirect, which is considered by Norton to be fraudulent because, you know, someone's loading one website but it goes to another.
Yeah.
You don't
get what you think you're clicking on.
Yeah, but you really do in this case, because it's like it goes from, you know, you want to click on Facebook, but it goes to like Facebook's other domain that is like where the action happens behind the scene in Facebook when you show images. So I think it was like, you know, it goes to like fb.com instead of facebook.com or something, but
okay,
which is a Facebook site.
Either way, don't use that plugin. What was the name of it again?
Yeah, it's it was called Share Buttons by Lockers, LOCKERZ / add to any. Yeah, I think the thing, anything with a Z you shouldn't use. I'm kidding.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
But yeah, see, again, we're not just complaining about our day. That's a news you can use. And like I was saying earlier with the U-Haul thing, I think in LibPair, you would have a lot more people reporting things they didn't like about companies. And you see this already without any kind of government involvement. I mean, think about Yelp. Think about the rating systems on eBay or the rating systems on Amazon. I think for those of us who want a free society, we should be very active in explaining and discussing what we don't like about certain services and products, and all the way up to a boycott if necessary, because that's the way to really change things like that. It's not writing a letter to your congressman. It's not complaining that there ought to be a law like with the commercials being too loud, you know? Complain about it to other people. Say, hey, you know, you got to press the mute button. Or say, hey, Fox, you know, their commercials are like 12 decibels higher than the fucking show, or the show, sorry. But I think that's a very LibPair thing, and that's sort of what I think the role of the media should be playing, a lot of it at least, instead of, you know, gushing and getting their panties wet over whenever the state does make a new law. So I think that's a very LibPair thing.
Worms,
yo.
Yeah. What else you got, man? It's the Nima show. It's the Nima show.
Is it, why are you still munching on that pizza?
No.
Oh, okay. So I wanted to talk about this too. Apparently that the crackdown, you know, all the crackdown on painkiller abuse, you know.
Oh, they're going after old people.
Well, no, not just that, but it's had an unintended consequence. And it goes to that point earlier. We were talking about the cartels and the submarines, and I was saying it's like a game of whack-a-mole state. You're never going to win the drug war. If you crack down on one area, it's just going to go – it's going to flow somewhere else. Apparently, heroin addiction is on the rise in some states and in some cases dramatically. Generally, across the board, there's been a 13% increase in heroin use between 2005 and 2009, according to the National Drug Abuse Warning Network. So people are attributing this to the fact that people have been cracking down, or the government has been cracking down on people abusing things like, you know, not over-the-counter, but prescription opiates like hydrocodone, Vicodin, Oxycontin, things like that.
Well,
that's
good because heroin is a good thing. It's God's gift of comfort, and the world would be a better place if everyone took it.
Well,
I'm kind of kidding, but it's like no one fights for heroin, so I will. You know, I've been there, I've done it, I've been a junkie, it sucked. It was nice at first. Hey, you know, heroin's great, everyone should do it. I don't know, just everyone says that about pot and acid, and it's like no one ever says it about heroin. Heroin feels lonely, so I'm sticking up for it. First, came for heroin, and I was not heroin, so I did not speak up.
And that's fair enough. And that's a good point to make. That's a good point to make. I mean, I would not advise people to use heroin, but I will say that if you want to do any drug that is well within your right, as long as you get it by voluntary means, then the state just needs to step away.
Yeah, I mean, I'm making a point about like everyone we've ever talked to who's a medical marijuana advocate who thinks that, you know, the money saved should be used to fight speed and heroin. And I'm like, F that, no. man.
Yeah. There should be no money. The money should not be taken from us in the first place. How's that? How about they don't steal our frickin' money? Frickin' potheads. Then you'd have more money to buy pot. How's that? Alright, more Freedom Feeds.
This is novelist Tom Robbins.
Give us a call, folks. It's 307-215-5171. You can call us and chat about freedom or fiends or drugs or guns or whatever is your fancy. Got Michael W. Dean on the other end. What does it do, Michael?
What does it do, sir?
What does it do, as Bill Cosby would say?
State is gonna state, man.
State is gonna state. Yeah. Sure is. Of course.
Hate is gonna hate and state is gonna state.
State is gonna take. Yeah, that's the anarchist takeoff on that.
I found an interesting little tidbit the other day. I've talked about the Selby movie that I made, the movie I made about Hubert Selby Jr. Uh-huh. And in it we interview a lot of people, but two of them are the old proper British gentleman who used to work for the BBC radio, who probably wore ties on the radio, who were his publisher in England, who went through an obscenity trial in 1966 that basically like reinforced free speech because they won. You know, they could have just paid the tiny fine and been done with it, but they're like, no, we're going to challenge this. And they hired John Mortimer as the barrister, who's a lawyer, he's also a screenwriter and author and a dramatist. And, you know, he's a really hip guy and he won the case, which was groundbreaking. I didn't know this until recently. He also was the lawyer who defended the Sex Pistols in their obscenity case.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Well, go him. Go now him. That's fighting for liberty, I would say. Yeah, preventing the state from doing something evil, like fining you for saying something.
Yeah.
I mean, what the F is that?
Yeah, they said fuck.
I say as I censor myself.
They said, I know. They said fuck on TV. They were interviewed on the Bill Grundy show, Sex Pistols were, and they, you know, it was like, that's like the Oprah show of the day or something, you know, in the 70s. Okay. And he was like, well, you've been on for half an hour now and you don't seem very outrageous. I've heard that you people are outrageous. We have 10 seconds left. Do something outrageous. And one of them's like, you dirty fucking rotter. Which I guess has the F word, but I guess rotter means something horrible in England. But they got in a lot of trouble for that.
Nice.
Yep.
So what was his name? John Mortimer. So big ups, John Mortimer.
Yeah, he passed away recently, but
decades ago.
Yeah.
He was a big does England? I mean, there is no First Amendment in England, right? I mean,
Does it matter? I mean, there's free speech in the Constitution of North Korea. Does it matter?
No, I guess not. So I guess that must have made it all the harder for Mortimer to argue the case. I don't know. I guess if he didn't have something to point to say, hey, you know, you guys are breaking your own rules here.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how he won the case?
Yeah, by proving that that Last Exit to Brooklyn, while it did have obscene things in it, or, you know, filthy things and dirty words and sex and street people, that it was a valid literary work. Now, I don't know what he did for the Sex Pistols. I don't know. I don't know if calling Bill Grundy a dirty fucking rotter is
a valid piece of literary work.
Yeah.
Well, that's just the thing. Why does something have to pass that test even? I mean, I guess you say whatever you got to say to get the masters off your ass. You know, you jive talk them and try to play it their game, I guess, at some points, like if you're in a court case. But, I mean, morally, why does something have to have a valid literary purpose in order for it to be obscene?
Or not be obscene, yeah. Or for it to get away with being obscene, yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. If I want to just get on a mic and say every cuss word I know and post that on Facebook.
Isn't that what we do?
What's wrong with that?
Freedom Fiends? Isn't it just us saying, fuck you to statists as opposed to, like, you know, intellectually challenging statists and logically ripping their arguments apart the way that other...
Fiend phone.
I suppose. We'll ask the fiend.
Fiend phone.
Yeah.
Fiend phone.
Hello, Fiend. You're on the air.
Hey, Michael. This is actually Sarah Shaw from Texas.
Hey. Hi. Howdy.
I told you I didn't have time to call. Howdy, y'all.
You got time to call. Nina's from Texas.
Yeah, I'm going back very soon.
Awesome. Yes. We would love to have you back in Texas.
Nice.
Sweet.
I heard you talking about censorship and saying the F word on the air. We actually got into a conversation about that this morning, and the lovely Hillary Clinton, and, you know, before she was ever trying to grab guns, I never really liked the woman because of her censorship thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, we just trying to put black bars on everything and NC-17 ratings and stupid shit like that.
Yeah.
You know, really bothers me. We kind of got into a conversation about the fact that, you know, if you're an adult and you don't want to see it, don't look at it. If you don't want to listen to it, don't listen to it. If you don't think it's age appropriate for your children, don't buy it. Don't make it available to them. We should be educated enough and responsible enough in this country to not have those censorship laws.
That's a very cogent, statement that I entirely agree with, and I like the way you stated it. It was really no nonsense, and I've actually heard people like call in right wing radio shows and say the same thing, and have people go, well, yes, I agree, but blah blah blah. But you know, they don't do what we're going to do, which is just say fuck yeah to all that.
Well, here's the thing. So most people, you know. Most people like soccer moms would say something like, well, who's going to protect the kids? And we have to have some sort of standard so the kids don't see all this.
The parents
filth.
Are going to protect the kids.
Yeah,
right?
I
know that, but I want to hear your, what
she's
would you
a parent.
Tell?
You're a parent, right?
Yes, I'm a parent. I have two children. I have two young elementary age daughters. And it's my job as a parent to say, no, you're not going to watch that shit on TV.
That shit on TV. Did you say shit?
No.
Excellent.
Yeah, you're not. No, I wouldn't say shit because chances are my 3-year-old would repeat it back to me. So,
over and over like they do with a new word.
Yeah, that's my job as a parent to make sure she isn't exposed to that if I don't feel it's appropriate.
Exactly. But what do you tell other parents? Because I imagine you probably interact with other parents occasionally at least. What do you tell them have you guys ever discussed this kind of stuff? What would you tell to a parent who thinks there should be some kind of government laws to prevent profanity from getting into kids' ears? What do you tell them? Same thing?
Honestly, my stress levels are high enough with just everyday life. I try my hardest to avoid conversations like that with other parents because I know they're going to say something idiotic like, well, we need more government ratings, or we need the whatever agency to tell us that that's not safe for our kids to watch. And, you know, we can't let them hear these things on television and, you know, or the radio. And I only buy CDs at Walmart because they censor out the bad parts. And, you know, I think as a parent, that's, you know, as part of responsible, educated parenting, it's your job to expose yourself to what are your kids reading? What are they looking at online? What kind of music are they listening to? And, you know, if you really want to be involved in your kids' life and make sure that they're learning the values and lessons you want them to learn, you need to know those things. You need to make sure you're involved in those decisions they're making. And, you know, that's your responsibility.
And I've always thought
when
that, too.
Bring a life into the world.
Right. And I'm not a parent, but I've always thought that parents who push for more nanny state laws are in essence just lazy. I mean, aren't they passing the buck? They're abdicating their own responsibility and assuming it's the government's responsibility. It's the responsibility of somebody else to raise their kids rather than them.
I will agree with that because before I had children, I was a nanny. And you said nanny state. And that's exactly what it is. They do. They pass the buck to other parents, to other caregivers. They are not involved. It's, you know, oh, I work till 7 o'clock at night, so you're going to school all day, and your teachers are in charge, and then you're going to go to the babysitter until 7 o'clock, and they're in charge. And you never, you know, these parents never really get involved in the raising of their own children. And it's easy for them to turn a blind eye or make the easy choice to walk away from the situation and just kind of let their kids do whatever, or let another adult dictate what their children are doing and learning. And I think, really, in the long run, that's...
Tired of the false economy? Want to carry real money in a form that people will dig getting? Don't Tread on Meme now has Freedom Fiends and Guns and Weed silver dime cards. Collect all four. Trade them with your friends. Freedom Fiends silver dime cards are also great for starting conversations with statists about liberty. Go to freedomfiends.com today and click the link at the top that says silver dime cards. That's freedomfiends.com.
dangerous for their children, especially if they're trying to raise children to be aware of things politically that, you know, you might not want them to just go to school and, oh, we say the pledge and let me shove some more of the statism down your throat. And, you know, when your kids come home and, well, they said, you know, Uncle Obama is great. And, you know, you just go, wait, what a second? Well, wait, what?
Yeah.
Wait,
what did you say?
What did you do at school today? What the hell is this? No, let me deprogram you for a little bit and tell you what's really going on. And, you know, I think it's really, especially now, the way that this country is going, it's the responsible parent's job to kind of make sure that their kids know what really is going on.
We're off the air now. We're off the air right now.
Tired of that same old government. Okay.
Do you want to stay on and talk during the break? It goes out on the
government free.
It goes out later on the archives.
Come again?
We're off the air now. It's a commercial right now for like what, 4 minutes, Nima? Do you want to keep chatting? This goes out on. It's not going out live, but it goes out on the archives.
Oh no, that's fine. I wish I could. I actually have to go get my youngest daughter from her dad this evening.
Well, there you go.
Thanks for calling in. It was strangely like cogent and sane of a phone call compared to what we often get.
Perfect. Yeah, that was a really good call.
Really?
We appreciate it.
Yeah. I mean, not to say that our fans are all crazy, but you know, they're always a little more like, God damn the government, I want to go out and blah blah blah. And you know, I'm like, you're so sane.
But then you started talking about saying the Sex Pistols and then saying fuck on television. And I'm like, you know, we were just talking about censorship this morning. And that's one thing that really just chaps my ass that I can't stand. And so I'm like, okay, I can call in for 15 minutes. It's not going to kill me. So
awesome.
I figured I'd give you guys a holler and
thanks.
See what's going on. But oh, it's no problem. And
we really appreciate
it.
Call in anytime.
I'll try again.
Live. What's up, Michael W. Dean?
Yeah. Check.
So,
go.
You know, we were talking about censorship, and we were talking with an actual parent, a mom, saying basically, you know, that is your responsibility as a parent to show your kids what's right and wrong. A nanny state law is not going to do it for you. Trusting it to the schools or to the government is not going to do it for you. And it's so timely. Last night, I watched the perfect South Park episode for that. Have you ever seen this one called Proper Condom Use, Michael?
No, but I do want to add that that Sarah, our caller, said that she wants us to tell her husband, Justin, to listen to Dead Kennedys. She's trying to get him to, and he won't. I know he's a fan of Right Arm of Wyoming, she said, or he said, my band, Right Arm of Wyoming. Right Arm of Wyoming is kind of trying to sound like Dead Kennedys. Not many punk bands tried to sound like Dead Kennedys. They all tried to sound like the Stooges or Black Flag because it's easier.
Yeah.
But that record is heavily influenced by Dead Kennedys.
Yeah, totally.
So if you like Right Out of Wyoming, you'll love Dead Kennedys.
I will co-sign that too. And Michael is also always telling me to listen to Dead Kennedys. So
always.
Dead Kennedys are important.
Because they're like totally anti-state and we're doing like, you know, the government's out and, you know, like really like kind of deep analyses of world events in punk, in protest music before Nemo was born. So, you know, I don't want Nemo to say, I don't know who that is. Who's that?
I never would. I know who the Dead Kennedys are, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Great stuff. But in the South Park episode, right? So, the kids end up doing this thing they call Red Rocket. They're jacking off their dogs to milk the dogs, and they don't know what it is. But Stan is jacking off the dog during one of his mom's book club things. And so his parents freak out, and they're trying to explain to him that, hey, that's not really milk. That's semen, but they don't know how to say it to the kid. They don't want to explain sex to Stan. So they say, well, your school should be teaching that. We don't have to deal with that. Your school should be teaching that. So they go petition the school to teach sex education in fourth grade. And the people they end up teaching it are Ms. Chokes on Dick, who's never had sex before, and Mr. Mackey, who hasn't had sex since he was like 19, and it must have been a prostitute. So the kids are getting all this bad, horrible information from people who've never had sex in their lives, and that's how the kids are getting educated about sex. So they get all this wrong information. The boys end up thinking that they have to wear condoms constantly in order to not get diseases. So the boys are rubber banding condoms to their wieners and wearing them and peeing in them and throwing them in the trash can. And the girls think the boys are going to give them diseases, so the girls go hide out in the woods and live there. And in good old South Park style, it ends up being like a war between the boys and the girls, a la carte, or just like, what's that movie? Road Warrior.
Yeah.
So the kids get into this big fight, and it's just horrible and awful. And in the end, you know, when they're doing the denouement, like the lessons they've learned today, the lesson they learned is it's a parent's responsibility to teach kids about things like this, not a school's, not a government's.
So pod beef.
Pod beef. What about?
Yeah, I got into some more pod beef recently. Well, we always joke about, like, I get into beefs with people on the internet, and you know, it's a hip hop thing, a rap thing, of like, you know. East,
I haven't
West,
had lunch
East
yet,
Coast.
So pod beefs make me hungry, man.
Yeah, and somebody was like, "Why are you bashing other libertarians? Shouldn't you all be in this together?" And I was thinking about it. It's kind of like, I mean, that kind of reminds me of AA, of they say, like, you know, in AA, you should tolerate people you don't like because we're all in this lifeboat together. And if there's fighting in the lifeboat, we're all going to die. But I kind of think of liberty as stronger and bigger than that, to the point where, you know, not necessarily beef, but like, I don't have to like every podcast. I can say, you know, a couple of these, I really don't like them, and say what they are. And I can say, like, I don't like this guy's liberty blog or whatever, or, you know, just kind of like, it's not such a fragile ecosystem that you can't act like it's the real world and criticize people yet. I think you can.
Totally.
Either you can, or I want to behave as if you can until you can.
Well, here's the thing. You know, people always said this, especially about Ron Paul, right? It's not the man. It's supposed to be the movement. It's the ideas. And I think that that's where liberty should be, if it's not already. So if somebody, no matter who it is saying something that you don't think is part of the non-aggression principle or violates it, or
Alex,
if somebody's
Jones.
Wrong
Alex
in
Jones.
Their things,
Alex
whatever,
Jones.
Whatever the case is, you should call them out on it, because that's what we need to be doing. It's not attacking somebody, because, you know, as long as you don't go to an ad hominem argument and just say, oh, well, that dude's just a douche. You know, if you talk about somebody's ideas or their arguments, that does nothing but make it better for all of us, because we're not in a movement where we're trying to build heroes, right? Where we're trying to get famous or have people be sort of the leading the parade. We're trying to convince people of ideas. And so the more feedback we have on those ideas, the better and the more tapered those ideas will end up being.
Nemo, when I was your age, son, we walked 8 miles to school uphill both ways, and we recorded on tape.
Oh, really? You guys had tape back when you were young? I thought, yeah, you were like writing them down in like stone tablets.
No.
No.
No, we had magnetic tapes.
All right. Fair enough.
Got to get me some tapes.
Yeah. When I was a reporter at first, I used mini DV tapes.
Mini
those
DV.
Were lame as hell.
Mini DV tapes.
Cassettes.
Use,
yeah,
those for audio?
For video.
For video. Yeah, well, that wasn't, yeah, too long ago. You know, SD card video is, what, 5 years old now?
Something like that, but it's way easier and way better, man.
It's
I'd
so
much rather
better.
Just pop a memory card into a camera,
yeah,
than upload so, it.
You don't have to, like, you had to actually, like, play the whole tape to import it
in
too.
Real time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even if it wasn't real time, I mean, you might be able to dub it a little bit faster, but it was nothing
not
as fast.
But you couldn't get the whole amount of it. You couldn't get the whole resolution doing it at double speed.
Right, right.
What a lot of systems did, like, what you're supposed to do to edit a feature film back then was you'd shoot your whole film, you know, on what, 10, 20, 30 mini DV tapes, depending, you know, they're like an hour each, but depending, yeah, on what your shooting ratio was, you know, let's say you shot 30 tapes worth, and then you were supposed to number those tapes, and then you would go through and watch them while it's hooked up to the computer and use what's called machine control, which was pretty cool. It was like you'd, mm-hmm, actually control the camera forward, backward, stop, and play with the mouse
with
cursor on the computer.
Yeah.
And then you were supposed to set in and out points of the parts you wanted. And whenever you put a tape in, you'd have to number it. Like, this is tape one, tape two, tape three. And then you'd mark the points you wanted. And then it would go through and rewind really fast to those points, import them at like double speed, and then go to the next part and do that. And then you'd do that for every tape you had.
Yeah.
And then you'd edit the film low res in your editing program. And then you'd take it all your tapes and your project to an online facility and pay them tons of money, and they would import it at full power, full resolution for you, and then output your movie. It's ridiculous.
Oh, man. Yeah, that sounds like so
That's why
much
the
work.
Cubby movie cost $20,000 to make, and that's why the gun training film that I just finished and sent off to MVD, which looks far better than the Cubby movie, and is actually the best looking movie I've ever done, and with the best audio and like the cleanest editing and everything. And the budget was $270, and most of that was for ammunition and gasoline and postage. Yeah.
Nice, nice. Yeah, man, it just makes – it gets easier and easier. The other thing about importing from magnetic tapes is I remember it was so buggy. Like I would come back after letting it edit and or import, and it would say like a frame was dropped. We couldn't import this. And I'm like, man, I just wasted 30 minutes and I didn't get any video.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll talk about gear. Maybe we'll talk about freedom. Just stay tuned to Freedom Fiends Live.
Worms.
Worms, this is the Freedom Fiend Central Scrutinizer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back live on Freedom Fiends Live. And we've got Michael W. Dean here and our favorite caller from Prague. What's up, man? Václav, right?
Hi. Yeah, it's me.
How's it going?
It's going great.
What do you got planned this week?
This week I'm going to see the speech of Nigel Farage.
Who's that?
He is the UK member of the European Parliament. He is.
Oh, they call him like the Ron Paul of England or something, or the Ron Paul of Europe.
I don't really know if they call him like that. I don't know. I would define him as a libertarian porn, because like his speeches in the EU Parliament are like quoted, and you can if you look up them on YouTube or somewhere, you will see the passionate in his speeches bashing the EU, the euro, all the first people of the European Union. But to the other hand, he is a bit controversial, I would say.
Why?
Why? Because he's connected with his UK party, which builds strongly on nationalism, and I don't want to use the word xenophobia, but a little bit of that maybe also.
We have those people here. I mean, like, there's this guy named Eric Dondero. He's not a politician, but he actually did run against Ron Paul in Ron Paul's district. You know, we have people here who are Republicans who call themselves libertarian who are not, you know, like Ron Paul, I think, is a real libertarian, even though he's involved in politics. But we have, you know, the Tea Party people here. A lot of them say, oh, I'm in favor of smaller government, but they're very xenophobic and they're very nationalistic.
Right, right. They want to keep the illegals out and do protectionist trade agreements, you know, ban things from China or have tariffs, things like that. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about? Is he like an immigration nut kind of guy?
Yes. That's what it is. And that's what I want to ask him if I would have the chance tomorrow. How is this connected with libertarianism? Isn't it better for everybody to have people coming to wherever they want to and working there, putting the wages down, making the economy run more efficient? I mean, this is the question I want to ask him tomorrow.
I can predict his answer. It won't be favorable. I mean, it's probably going to be something along the lines of, you know, well, I'm in favor of total freedom, but, you know, I live in the real world and we have to, you know, as the leaders in the real world, we have to take actions with the government to increase freedom.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they always go back to this thing where they say that, hey, the government is giving these people free money and they're taking up all of our resources and they drive on our roads and they take our health care. And, you know, I don't know if in this kind of a format you're going to get the chance to rebut him if he answers something to that effect. But I would just say if you're scared of immigrants because they're taking all your resources, then just stop the welfare state, right? Stop giving people free health care. Stop the government involvement in the roads and things like that.
Yeah.
I think that he's in favor of that.
Huh. Is he?
Okay. I don't know if his party just needed the votes from people who are xenophobic, so they played on that string.
No, that makes sense. So I mean, that could be possible.
I really don't know. I'm wondering about his answer, and I think that he will be speaking to small group of people. I don't think that he's so Republican Czech Republic. So I think it will be a max up to 100 people.
Huh.
So I might have a chance to talk back and forth with him.
Why is he speaking in Prague? Why do you think? Is he doing like a European tour or what's going on there?
He was invited by some Czech initiative, which is also a bit xenophobic and nationalist.
You know, I think you should ask him something just really crazy. Like one time, do you know the author Ken Kesey who wrote One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
Yes.
I went and heard him speak one time at a small place to about 100 people, and I raised my hand and asked him, why did you try to have sex with my sister in the 70s? Because he did. He tried to have sex with my sister.
And well, I was mad at him. Well, I don't think that'll work for Vaslav, because he's bringing his students with him, right?
And this
I'm not taking my students with me. It will be...
Did this guy ever try to have sex with your sister, though?
Luckily, I don't have any sister, so I don't have to worry about that. Luckily,
I think you should ask him that anyway, and he might go, who's your sister? And he'd say, then that would be the funny answer. Like, oh, you do it so many times, you can't remember. I don't know. I just don't know if I see the point of standing up and asking a politician a question. I see the point of asking it, but I don't expect any kind of real answer from them.
Yeah, he's a politician. I know. Sometimes when they are speaking to a smaller crowd, they tell the truth.
To be more honest. They tell the truth, yeah. Although they're careful with that now, because usually even when you're speaking to a small crowd, somebody's filming it on their cell phone and you're really speaking to the world because it ends up on YouTube. That's how you get like American politicians at barbecues saying things like, we got to keep all these brown people out of our country. You know?
Oh, yeah, that's true. So, it's true. He might be a little bit less open. So, by the way, his party, because I was repeating the UK party or his party, it's UK Independence Party.
Ah.
So, if somebody wants to look it up.
Sounds, I mean, socialist. I don't know. they all have glorious names, you know. Parties always, all over the world, have names that seem noble. Actually, the more noble the name of a country, the less noble it usually is, too. You know, like...
like if it's People's Democratic Republic of, you know, something's wrong.
You know it's not of the people and it's not democratic.
Yeah, that's the double thing.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So I want to go back to this whole... you wanted to shy away from using the word xenophobia, but okay, fair enough. Is that a big thing, at least where from your point of view in Europe, or even in the Czech Republic more specifically? Is there a big fear of, I don't know, immigrants from Africa or from the Muslim world? Is there fear of that?
It's difficult to say. The xenophobia or there is a fear for multiculturalism. But it's more like the false benefits for those people which are coming here and they have their faith or they have their cultural habits. And the people are afraid of that. And then you have the I would say, as stupid tendencies of the state and the EU to make the nations very multicultural and support those multicultural programs. So it makes people think even less about the people which are coming.
Well, even when there's not so much xenophobia, isn't there always a lot of nationalism? And can't those two be a little bit mutually exclusive? Like, for instance, when they went to the Euro, didn't a lot of countries resist it just because they liked having their nation's name and landmarks on their money? So, like, aren't the Euro coins have different nations' pictures on the back of them?
Yes, yeah, that's true. And I think that all the countries which kept their own currencies, that the main one was the UK, and the UK did it because they are always like skeptical and they are very proud on their pomp.
They don't want to join someone else's empire. They want to be their own empire. They used to be an empire and they're sad and depressed and crying because they're not anymore as much.
They want to be the sidekick of the American empire.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yeah. Also, the Euro money, don't the paper bills, none of them have pictures of humans on them. Aren't they all pictures of buildings and animals? And aren't the buildings like not real buildings?
Yeah, the buildings are not real buildings. I know that there are bridges on it. We are not using euros in Czech Republic, so I don't know. They're very colorful. They have, I think, a map of Europe on one side, which is funny because it has like two little tables or like squares, which represents the.
Have you been looking for a safe, scenic, and inspiring?
Hello?
Oh, yeah, we're still here. Sorry.
Can you hear me? Yeah, we're still here, but we're not.
The ad came on.
Yeah, we're on a break right now, but this goes out on the archives if you want to keep talking for a couple minutes.
Yeah. So, like, on the Euro bills, there is a map of Europe. We have two, like, or three little squares, which represents the France land in the Oceania or somewhere in at the far east.
Huh. Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. They couldn't agree on what buildings to put because all the countries fought over it, so they put made-up buildings on them.
Yeah, they're made-up buildings. I think they're mainly bridges.
Yeah. Yep.
So made-up buildings for made-up money.
Yep. Hey, I'm going to let you go here because there's one more person that's going to call in for the last segment, I think. I think Lou's going to call in.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Good talking to you, man. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for calling, man.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
It's our last segment, so if you don't know the number yet, deal.
Go to our website and find it.
Yeah. Yeah. How's that? How do you like that, listeners?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was going to say about our caller, Sarah, I said this off mic, but she was like so sane and cogent. It was really strange getting a call that was so sensible. Not saying that our normal callers are insane or unsensible, but they're generally a lot more like, I'm going to go shoot things. Like, you know, kind of like I am. And she was just coherent and cogent and, you know, not screaming. And it was pretty strange to me.
She sounded like a mom who really had it together.
There you go.
Like she could have said the thing she was saying at a PTA, sans the few curse words in there.
And they would have said, but
people might have listened to her.
They would have thrown her out. They would have said, think of the children. We need the government to think of the children.
Yeah. Only because they're brainwashed. If there were a few smart people there, they might get the point. But I don't know if there would be.
She probably does say that at PTA meetings.
She I doubt seems she like goes. She has- I hope she homeschools. Sounds like she might.
Yeah. There you go. No, didn't she talk about like having her kids come home from school and having to disindoctrinate what they learned that day?
She did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe that was
like,
before
like when they had Obama give a speech to all the elementary school kids a few years
over TV.
Ago. Do you remember
it was
that?
Like over closed circuit TV or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that. luckily, I was in Wyoming. I was a reporter. I got to do a story about a few parents pulling their kids out and saying, this is ridiculous. We can't have the president indoctrinating
our
kids.
Yeah, but the spin in Wyoming and the truth there was probably like, you know, if it were Mitt Romney, they would have made their kids stay after school for it.
Yeah. 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 If Bush was, I'm sure the person I talked to, I mean, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but it seemed like the person who I talked to was complaining about Obama at that time. If it was Bush, she would have been like, you know, he's the president. We need to make sure our kids are hearing from our president. I really appreciate him taking the time to address this.
They weren't trying to hide their kids from statism. They were trying to hide their kids from a particular flavor of statism in favor of another flavor of statism.
From the blue flavor. Yeah. Yeah. It's all about the cherry, guys. Not the blue raspberry ICs.
What's the good pill in the Matrix? The blue pill or the red pill?
I don't even remember, man. It's been so long.
It's the blue pill it's the red pill because we used the blue pill for the Compliacin ad.
So it's the red pill. So if you're an anarchist, you've taken the red pill. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah. But that's funny because red is can be Republican and communist.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, that's kind of weird, isn't it?
That red and I know, and you know, I heard somewhere that the left-wing mainstream news created those, like basically what it came from was election result maps. They had to have one color for one party and one color for another party, like you'd have on a graph, you know, and someone making them just picked two random colors, but they weren't random. It was like they were left-wing people picking the colors and they wanted to make the right-wingers seem communist. Which is kind of interesting. Although, really, I mean, they're both socialists.
Yeah, Republicans are just as close to communists as Democrats are in my mind. Like Scott Horton says, Republicans and Democrats are both worse than each other all the time.
Yeah.
There's not one that's worse than the other. They're just both always worse than each other.
Yeah.
They're just that bad. So, screw the state, man. I don't even need it. I'm going to go on a vacation and chill and not ever think about the state except when I'm in the national parks. And then I'll just think about how I wish a private company owned this. But whatever.
What are you rambling on about? Something about the government and cats?
I'm saying I'm going on vacation, man, I won't have to think about the state. But I will, because I'm going to be going to national parks. So
and
I
you're traveling. You're going over the roads where all the highwaymen of the government live.
Yeah,
I feel more aware of the state when I'm traveling than when I'm at home.
Well, see, the most status state that I'm going to pass through will be my destination state, Texas.
I was going to say, man, I still don't get it.
See, I'm going to pass through Idaho, which is going to be okay, and then Utah, which is going to be okay, and then Arizona, which is for the most part going to be okay. New Mexico is going to be fine, but it's when I get into Texas that I'm going to start worrying about the cops.
Yeah. Well, I worry about cops everywhere. I'm worried about those cops. We need to do something about that.
Think of the children. Let's get rid of the state for the children, guys.
Okay, I
want to
think about the children. I want to go full circle here and go with what we started with, which was the LA riots and Rodney King mysteriously dying at the bottom of a pool just after the 20-year anniversary. Let's not even talk about the possibility that some cop killed him or some citizen killed him. Let's talk about what has happened and what hasn't happened. Like, okay, Rodney King riots, you know, he gets filmed getting beat up by the police, goes on the news, and everyone's aware of it, and everyone calls for the police to be reformed. We got 20 years now behind us. What's happened? Have the police been reformed?
What good did it do? No. Hell no. They've gotten worse. Man, we have more of a police state than we did 20 years ago everywhere. Like,
in some places, you know, a couple states, like four states, they've passed laws against filming the police.
I thought those were declared unconstitutional, though, by the Supreme Court.
They're still enforcing them some places, though.
Yeah.
Somehow.
I can see that. And that's the thing with the state is, I mean, they're going to do what they want to do.
And the thing with the state using the law is, even if the Supreme Court says something's unconstitutional, they'll find some tiny variation of it and arrest someone for it anyway, and then be like, okay, you want to fight this? You take it all the way to the Supreme Court. And it's impossible for a citizen generally to take anything all the way to the Supreme Court, regardless of what people scream when they're getting arrested. It's really hard to take something to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court is not going to take a case that they've taken an almost identical case and ruled on before.
Yep. Well, I mean, it was just like they'll do what the Obama administration did with the NDAA thing. The judge declared it unconstitutional, and the Obama administration said, fine, well, we just won't indefinitely detain the plaintiffs, which are like Noam Chomsky.
Yeah. Man, it's really scary how, you know, I mean, people complain about, like, the president and his cabinet don't understand the Constitution, and I've been hearing that since, you know, the Constitution was written. But it's really scary when they understand the Constitution so damn well that they figure out the loopholes they can use around it, which is what the current administration is really big on. And the Bush people did too.
And the Constitution
Clinton was legalese, you know, like, well, it depends what the definition of is whether or not I had sex. Right.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly the thing with the Constitution is it's so up to the discretion of the people interpreting it. I mean, general welfare, how broad is that?
Yeah, and think about this too. I mean, this is something some socialist quoted to me the other day, but I think it's a relevant fact, is 1% of Americans are millionaires, 50% of Congress are millionaires.
Right. That's a misrepresentation. Yeah, completely. I don't trust the state, and anybody who thinks that a piece of paper can restrain the state. I mean, I love you, Judge Napolitano, but you are wrong on that. A piece of paper cannot restrain the state.
Yeah, I like what Jim Goad said. Every election is just two millionaires fighting over who loves the common man more.
Yeah. But any common man who's worth his salt knows that they're both full of shit.
Duh. I say any common man that isn't smart enough to become a millionaire is not very good. I'm going to be a millionaire someday.
I hope to, too.
Yep.
That's the goal, at least.
Boy, we just lost.
As long as the government doesn't steal my money.
I don't know if we just lost our listeners. I think a lot of listeners agree that, like, you know, what is it? Capitalism. Capitalism is the universe's way of showing who's smarter. It's true of real capitalism. It's not true of corporatism.
Yeah, I don't know if it's true about smarts, because there are smart people who don't want to give people what they want. But in a free society, the person who provides the things that people want the most is the one who gets rich. Now, if you're an artist, because I guess that's a big difference between an artist and a businessman. You know, I feel like if you want to be an artist, then you're making things that you want to make. If you're a businessman, you're making things that other people want to buy.
If you're smart, if you're a smart artist, you go work in Hollywood.
No.
I'm kidding. Yeah. Yeah, you work for people who exist on using government guns to enforce false claims of property.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But screw the state and big up freedom and all that good stuff.
Big up freedom. When are you going to get something that has a bunch of Morning Zoo Crew effects on it, Nima?
You need that.
I've got something, but man, it's just bulky. I don't want to put it next to me. I don't know.
I don't want to look at it. It stares at me. I'm afraid of it.
I'm awesome enough to where I don't need the effects.
You don't need the effects?
No. I need them when I'm, you know, post-production stuff. But
why don't you need the effects?
I don't know. Why do I need them, Michael?
This is the Central Scrutinizer.
Is it now? Is it really? Yeah. I don't buy it. I'm not buying it anymore. State Central Scrutinizer, I'm withdrawing my consent. Yeah. I do not consent to being talked at with effects anymore.
Yeah.
You must talk to me in real Michael voice as of now.
Okay.
Oh.
All right.
Or not.
Fine. So everyone at Porkfest, you know, do whatever you do. Hello? Do one for us. Do one for us.
Are you still on the air?
Yeah. Yeah, you still on the air?
We just lost our listeners.
We lost all our
listeners? Anyway, folks, this is Nima. I think Michael Dean broke his microphone or something.
I did not. I'm here. Can you hear me?
We've got like a minute left.
Can you hear me,
Nima? I really don't want to get into other necessarily freedom stuff.
You can't hear me, Nima?
I envy all of you who are at Porkfest. I do really wish I could be there. Sure, Michael might make it out sometime too, but I'm really planning on next year. Instead of doing this whole Western States road trip, you know, to move myself back to Texas, I think me and the wife have been talking about
we're
it.
Gone.
I
we're,
really hope we can maybe get out eastward here, maybe do Pork Fest in June.
Nima.
See what it's all about, you know. I'm hoping it's like Ernest Hancock said, and it's just this is the idea, you know. This is what we talk about living, and it's a nice real-world action of what's going on there. And so peace to all my fiends. Peace to all the folks at Porkfest. I will be on for the next Wednesday show. You'll hear me there. But then I'm going to be on a little vacay here. So hopefully either Michael's wife or the bad Quaker Ben Stone can help y'all out with that. All right.